How many of you, whenever you were a kid and you got hurt, your parent would ask you, hey, do you want me to kiss that and make it better? Anybody ever have your parent do that? Hey, do you want me to kiss that and make it better? Did it really make it any better? That's my question. I mean, there was a part of me which whenever I was real little thought so, but then as I got older, I'm like, no, I don't kiss it, right? Because I wasn't sure it was going to help at all. But somehow whenever we fell and we bumped our head or scraped our knee or somehow bloodied our lip, somehow we were told that a kiss, a touch, could make it better. Whether it healed the wound or not didn't matter. The truth is it healed our heart because we knew that mama cared about us. Now here we are as adults, and it turns out I'm learning that there actually is healing power in a human touch. A Stanford University reported that there are several studies that show significant benefit in wound healing, pain, and anxiety just through the power of a touch. It says touch therapy may also have positive effects on fracture healing and arthritis. Who knew? Robin Rice, writing for iHeartIntelligence.com, says there's actually that frequent touch actually increases a person's physical well-being as an adult. A hug doesn't just feel good, it's actually good for you. Regular hugs can lower a person's heart rate and blood pressure. The effect isn't just momentary, it's actually long-term, strengthening the immune system, decreasing stress, and reducing anxiety. A guy named Daniel Keltner, a professor of psychology at the University of California, Berkeley, studied the role of touch in the context of NBA basketball teams. Interesting. His research found that teams whose players touch each other more often win more games. In other words, the more they high-five and pat each other and hug each other, those guys win more games. So if this basketball season your team's down by 30, just tell everybody on the bench, start hugging each other, high-fiving, right? Maybe that would be the cure. Turns out, research shows us there actually is power in a touch. There's actually healing in a kiss. Nobody carried more power in their touch than Jesus. He restored people to health at every level, wounds and hurts that affect souls at the deepest places. If you're hurting right now, I want you to know that Jesus wants to touch your life today. Like a loving parent, he wants to kiss the wound of your soul and make it better with his powerful touch. Now, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22 today. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture that you've probably heard of or it's been referred to at some point in your life. It's a passage that you're going to kind of remember how things were in this, and there's an obvious wound that's going to be healed. But as we read Luke 22, I want you to open your ears. Ask God to show you that there's more than one way to be wounded. There are lots of ways, actually, to be wounded, but Jesus wants to heal them all, okay? Here's what the Scripture says. This Scripture is set in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has been praying. He's already sweat drops of blood. He knows what's about to take place. The disciples have been sleeping. Jesus has been praying. And Luke 22, verse 47 says this, "While Jesus was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, 'Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?' When those who were around him saw what was happening, they said, 'Lord, shall we strike with the sword?' And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, 'Stop, no more of this.' And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and elders who had come against him, 'Have you come out with swords and clubs as you would against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this hour and the power of darkness are yours.'" How many of y'all have heard that Scripture before? Y'all ever heard that Scripture before? And you're probably familiar with at least one of the wounds that was obvious in the Scripture. But I see that there are multiple levels of wounding in this particular passage. One of them is the most obvious. There are many kind of wounds that you can carry. The most obvious is a physical wound. This is the obvious one. In the heat of the moment, Peter picked up a sword and he cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. It's such a Peter moment, in my opinion. While somebody, maybe even it was Peter in the Scripture, is asking, "Lord, should we pick up the sword?" Peter doesn't wait for the answer. He's already drawn the sword and he's swinging at the guy's head. I mean, it was, and it was Peter. I don't know if he was aiming at Judas and hit the servant of the high priest in the head. I don't know if he was aiming at his head and the guy moved and he cut off his ear. Maybe it's possible that he was just, you know, going to swing it by everybody's heads as if it was a warning blow. But Peter's a fisherman, not a swordsman, and he winds up cutting the dude's ear right off. Regardless of his intent, Peter cut the man's ear off, and that wound was very much a real wound. Now, some of you here today, you may have been physically wounded just like this servant. Maybe abuse or bullying or maybe even malpractice of some sort has left you physically wounded. Whether it was intended or not, the hurt and the pain are real. The physical wound that you incurred may have happened a long, long time ago. But the wound of your soul can remain. Soul scars can cause you to believe lies or even build strategies of self-protection. Sometimes the wounded is the one who actually becomes the wounder, and you're hurting other people now out of your own hurt and pain. Can I just say, kind of parenthetically here, if you're in a situation right now that is physically abusive, if you're in a physically abusive situation, please call on God, but by all means, call the cops and remove yourself from any situation where you are being physically abused, okay? The call to turn the other cheek in Scripture is not a call for you to endure that kind of mistreatment. But the reality is, many of us have been wounded physically. But there are a couple of other kinds of wounds in this Scripture, okay? I don't know if you saw it, but another kind of wound is a relational wound or an emotional wound. They could all have emotional impact. And so I'm calling it a relational wound. This one's not as obvious in the story, but I think it's every bit as painful. Jesus, I think, is wounded in this story by the betrayal of a friend. Do you think that was wounding to him? The Bible says Jesus was betrayed. That word just by itself, right? You betrayed me. That's enough to let you know that there is hurt and there's pain. I know that oftentimes we think that Jesus is God in the flesh, and so therefore he must have been immune to hurt. But the Bible also says in his humanity, he identified with us. He's tempted in all ways like we are. Jesus felt hunger. He felt pain. And I think in this moment, he felt the blade of betrayal cutting his heart. Think about it. Judas was a friend. Jesus had washed his feet. He had invited him to be a disciple. Luke says he's one of the 12. Jesus had ministered to him. Jesus had ministered with him, even entrusted the money for the disciples to Judas. Jesus loved this guy, and yet Judas betrayed him, not from a distance with a stab in the back, but with a kiss. A symbol, supposedly in their culture, of friendship and affection. I don't know about you, but that just seems cold-blooded and heartless to me, that he would wound Jesus in that way, betrayed. I looked up some famous betrayers. Maybe you would recognize some of these. I brought pictures of you of them to help you. This is a picture of Brutus betraying Julius Caesar. And he was ultimately stabbed. That's where we get stabbed in the back from. The idea is Brutus betrayed Julius Caesar like that. Maybe there's a guy named Benedict Arnold that you've heard of. He's a famous traitor. I mean, come on, you can't trust a guy that's dressed like that, could you? I mean, seriously, would you trust a dude looking like this? But Benedict Arnold was a fighter in the American Revolution, but he betrayed the Americans and he began to fight for the British. In the movie world, I don't know, one of the most famous betrayals that I can remember happened in the movie Braveheart when William Wallace, who was supposed to be really locked in with this guy, Robert the Bruce, they had made a pact. We're going to stand up together. But in the heat of battle, Robert the Bruce betrayed him. And you could remember the look on William Wallace's face when he realizes that the man that he thought was a friend had betrayed him. Do you remember watching that or seeing that? It was a painful moment. You could tell that he was so wounded by that. Or maybe in the movie The 300, where all the Spartans are fighting, but there was this hunchback guy who wanted to be a gladiator, but he couldn't. And so he betrayed the Spartan army, and he led Xerxes' army through a back path to come around behind the Greek forces at the Battle of Thermopylae, and they were defeated, a betrayer. Can I ask you a question? Whose picture would you put up there? Y'all got a picture you could put up there? Maybe a good friend that hurt you, maybe a business partner that stuck you in a bad place in some way. Maybe it's a spouse who ran off We've all heard about the guy who lamented that his best friend ran off with his wife and took the dog, and the guy lamented, man, I sure do miss my dog, right? Now, we can laugh about that, but there is a truth, and there are many of you who know what it is to be betrayed by a friend or betrayed by a spouse, physically or emotionally, and the wound is quite real for us. You're hurt and you're wounded, and a broken trust and a broken bone are just as real. Trust and a broken heart are just as real as a broken bone. Someone said, stab the body and it heals, but injure the heart and the wound lasts a lifetime. There are physical wounds that are real, but some of you are here today and there's a relational wound that is just as deep, betrayed by someone that you trusted or loved. There's a third kind of wound that I see in this scripture, and again, it's a little bit maybe less obvious than the physical wounding of the man whose ear was cut off, but it's a spiritual wound. There's a spiritual wounding that is taking place in this scripture. It says that the spiritual leadership, right? The spiritual leadership, the chief priests, the officers, and the elders, that's how Luke identifies them. These are all supposed to be the leaders of God's people. They came against Jesus. That's the way Luke describes it. They came against him. They got permission to arrest Jesus. They are the ones who put the whole posse together that's coming to take him away. They are the ones ultimately who are responsible for the ultimate wound, and that is they put Christ to death. Jesus said, you're treating me like a robber, like I'm the bad guy, but the truth is, you're the ones who are walking right now in the power of darkness. Now, would you think about this with me just for a second? Some of you are not here right now. You're listening on podcast or you're watching on a live stream because you've been wounded by the church. These wounds can be especially deep and painful because someone that you thought was supposed to protect you or love you or help you ended up perpetrating the greatest grievance against you. You almost expect other people from the world to hurt you, but not the church. But can we agree? It happens. The pastor or those who claim to be Christian didn't show up when you needed them. They didn't follow up whenever you called out to them. They didn't rally to you, or somehow you felt judged or condemned by them in your moment of weakness. Your trust got violated and your needs and your expectations went unmet. And so now here you are today and your soul is wounded. Spiritual wounds can cause well-meaning people to give up on the church and they'll vow, I'm never going back there. You say, the church is just absolutely full of hypocrites. And you know what? It is many times, but so is Walmart and you keep going there. There are times whenever you've gone to a restaurant and the food was awful, the service was bad, maybe you even got food poisoning, but you didn't quit eating. You just found a new place. Can I just tell you something right now? And that is, there is no perfect church because there are no perfect people. All of us need the grace and love of Jesus. All of us are flawed, we act fleshly, and we are prone to forget how Christ has called us to act. And the truth is, there are some of you who are carrying that, though. There's a very real, deep wound that's been perpetrated by spiritual leaders. All of us have probably been wounded in some way. I can't cite a statistic for that other than life's just taught me that all of us are going to be wounded at some time or another. But here's the good news. Here's what we came to celebrate today. Jesus' touch, his touch restores the hurting. No matter the nature of your wound, Jesus is your healer today. Jesus is a picture of mercy and constancy. As he had many times before, Jesus brings relief and healing even to his enemy's servant. This guy's coming to arrest Jesus, and yet Jesus, regardless of his worthiness, is healing this man and making him whole. He reattached the slave's ear and restored him completely. The Greek word that Luke uses, and Luke was a physician, he would know, how that looked. The Greek word for heal means to make whole. One Greek dictionary means it means to cause something to return to an earlier, correct, or appropriate state, or to renew. Jesus can renew your wound. He can restore you to your correct, appropriate, and healthy state. The question is, will you let Jesus make you whole again? Will you right now, today, let Christ touch you and make you whole? Will you let him touch your wound and heal you? In the scripture, I think there are two people that Jesus wants to heal and to restore. Jesus wants to heal and to restore today the wounded. He wants to restore you if you've been wounded physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually. He wants to restore you right now. How does he do that? How does Christ teach us to experience his healing touch? Here's what I would say to you. There are three things that I want to encourage you to do if you want to experience this healing touch today. Number one is put down your sword. Right, that's verse 51. When Jesus has been asked a question, should we pick up the sword? And Peter, before he even gets an answer, is already swinging. Jesus then answers and says, put the sword down. That's not the Christ way. It may be the world's way to retaliate, but it is not the Christ way. One of the first steps toward your healing is to give up your right and desire to retaliate. You have to release your offender to God. Can I give you a couple of verses for that? One is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. It says this, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Now again, when it's in all caps, that means there's a quote of the Old Testament. We know the one who says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. That's God's job, not your job. That's what he's saying. The Lord will judge his people, even if it's a spiritual wound. It's not your job to exact vindication. It is God's job. So what God is telling you to do is to lay down your right to retaliate. You got that? So it's in all caps. Let's go and look at the scripture where that actually comes from. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 32, where God says, vengeance is mine and retribution. I'll pay them back, God says. In due time, their foot will slip, for the day of their calamity is near, and the impending things are hastening upon them. Would you look at that? Here, listen, as long as you're trying to take vengeance, God won't. But if you will say, God, I am giving up my right to retaliate, and I'm going to trust that you and all your justice will do the right thing, God says, I got this. But you've got to release the wound to God and let God be the one who handles your enemy. It's not just the physical retaliation. I think it's the wounded and the bitter place maybe that can grow. If you've been wounded, if you keep massaging that wound, talking about how wrong you've been done and how you shouldn't have been done wrong like that, and you keep recounting how you've been done wrong over and over and over again, and everybody you meet, you're telling them about how bad you've been done wrong, and it happened years ago, but it doesn't matter. It's like it was last night to you because you keep holding on to it. The Bible says when you massage that wound, you keep picking at that scab, it gets infected with a thing called bitterness. Now listen to what the Bible says about bitterness in Hebrews 12:15. It says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. Hey, let God handle it. Don't come short of the grace of God. That no root of bitterness, watch this, springing up, it'll grow. The longer you leave it there, it's going to spring up. It's going to grow. It's going to begin to shade everything in your life and jade everything in your life. That root of bitterness will spring up and cause trouble. And by it, many will be defiled. Do you see what God's word is warning against? If you hold on to this bitterness and this wounded spirit, it is going to grow in your life, and it's going to cause you trouble, and it's going to affect and defile everything else around you. It's going to affect your health. It's going to affect your future. It's going to affect everything about your life and relationships. God is saying to you, if you want to get well, if you want him to make it better, part of what you've got to do is lay down the sword. This is so important to lay down the wound and to ask God to heal it inside of you, because the longer you hold on to mad and the longer you stay mad, the more you're opening yourself up to spiritual darkness. Here's the verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 say this, be angry and do not sin. That's an Old Testament quote. But it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger and don't give the devil an opportunity. Do you see the connection between giving the devil an opportunity, which means an open door into your life to ruin everything about you, physically, emotionally, spiritually? The connection is the devil gets an opportunity when you hold on to the anger and the hurt. Do you see that? Come on, help me if you just kind of nod like this a little bit. Jesus is saying, lay down your right to get even, lay down the bitterness, and for God's sake, please let it go so that the enemy doesn't have a permission now, an opportunity to hold on and keep you oppressed in your life and in your thought. Listen, whether it's the Hatfields and McCoys or bullied kids at school, returning violence for violence will never end the violence. Only grace can end it. Last Saturday, October the 27th, a guy named Robert Bowers walked into Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, armed with multiple guns, shouting out anti-Semitic epithets. "All Jews must die," he screamed. And he released a barrage of bullets over a roughly 20-minute span that killed 11 people and then wounded 6 others. After suffering a gunshot wound, he was apprehended and taken to Allegheny General Hospital, where he continued to shout, even in the emergency room, "I want to kill all Jewish people." The irony is the hospital that he was taken to was filled with medical professionals who were all Jewish. His attending nurse was Jewish. The attending nurse's father is a Jewish rabbi. The attending physician in the emergency room is Jewish. The president of the hospital, Jeffrey Cohen, also Jewish, lived near the Tree of Life Synagogue. He knew 9 of the 11 people that were killed. He went into Bauer's room after he was in stable condition just to check on him and make sure that he wasn't in any pain. Bauer said he was fine and then asked, "Hey, who are you?" He said, "I'm Dr. Jeffrey Cohen. I'm the president of this hospital, and I just wanted to make sure you were okay." He then turned to walk out of the room, and the FBI agent guarding the door looked at Dr. Cohen and said, "I don't think I could do what you just did." And you know what? In your flesh, you cannot. In your flesh, you cannot. But by God's grace, you can say, "God, I need you to touch me and heal me, and that means I'm going to lay down the sword. I'm not going to return evil for evil, insult for insult." As a matter of fact, 1 Peter 3:9 says this: "Don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for this purpose, that you might inherit," look at this, "that you might inherit a blessing." You're either going to walk in bitterness or blessing. The choice is yours. But if you want to walk in blessing, you got to lay down the sword. You got to refuse to retaliate. I think Jesus wants you to let him touch you. Right? Lay down your sword and then let Jesus touch you. The word "touch" is a participle where Jesus touches the man's ear and he healed him. The idea is that he touched him, but he kept on touching him. Now think about it. This man has come to arrest Jesus. He's just been wounded by one of Jesus's followers, and yet Jesus is now touching his ear, which means the man would have, could have, possibly in his flesh pulled back and said, "Man, don't touch me." But instead, he allowed the one that he perceived as the enemy, he perceived him to touch him and to keep touching him until he was made fully well. When you've been hurt, your tendency can be to pull away from Jesus. "I don't want you to touch me." You can blame God. "How could you allow this to happen to me?" You can think that God was not there for you. God somehow let you down. You may even believe that God is the one responsible for your pain. But can I say to you right now, here's the deal. You're either going to blame God for your pain and hold on to it, or you're going to trust him with your wound and come to him as the only one who can truly heal you and restore you to health, to bring you to wholeness, to your right and your best self. In this scripture that you've heard 1,000 times before, maybe, Jesus is demonstrating his heart of love and compassion as well as his power to touch this enemy's ear and make it well. If it was you, would you have touched the man's ear? I hate to tell you this, but I probably wouldn't have. If it was me, if one of my, you know, friends was protecting me and they cut dude's ear off and I knew he was in the wrong, I'd probably go, "Man, hate that for you. Come on, anybody? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Bro, I hate it. You should have known, but I told you not to roll up on me like that. You better jump back." Right? I mean, that's our flesh. And yet Jesus is full of love and mercy and compassion. And he came to heal and to forgive, and he wants to touch you right now, one who by our actions don't deserve to be healed, but he wants to touch you right now. He wants to heal your heart, touch your mind, and make you whole and well. But you've got to open your heart to him, to let him touch your hurt and make you whole. Listen, sometimes, most times, that is a process. And can I say to you, you're going to need a church family to help you. You're going to need Christian counselors and books and friends and retreats, probably, for you to make some progress in this journey. Certainly, you're going to need the Word of God, and you're going to need prayer. But I want to tell you, Jesus is your healer. I've read inner healing book after inner healing book and gone to conferences where you hear about people and read about stories of people whose lives have just endured tremendous tragedy, heartache, and pain and wounding. And yet they all come down to a common place. Will you open your life and your wound to God and say, God, I don't understand it, and I've blamed you for it for so long, but I'm asking you to show me, were you really there, and what do you want to do in my life right now? Would you heal me? And I would say to you today, would you allow Christ to touch you? Only you can do that. Only you can do that. And then thirdly, trust him with the wound. Trust him with that wound. This is hard, I know, but this is where God wants us to get to, where we trust him with the wound. My friend Dixon Perry, y'all heard his testimony a couple of weeks ago, said that he has stopped asking God why when bad things happen. He now says, when bad things happen, I just pray, God, what's in it for me? God, what is it that you want to accomplish? God, what do you want me to learn? Now, all four gospel writers record this episode, this experience in the garden where Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss. All of them do. All of them add a little something different. It's Peter who tells us that it was Malchus, the high priest, was his name, that Peter's the one with the sword. But Matthew tells us that Jesus' mindset, while he's being wounded, is different. And I think this comes from prayer. That's why he was in the garden praying. I think this is what God was showing him. But here's his mindset, even in the midst of the wounding. Matthew 26:55. Check this out. At that time, Jesus said to the crowds, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Watch this. Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all of this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets. That sentence right there. That sentence. But all this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets. And then all the disciples left him and fled. Listen, all of them wounded him. But Jesus is able to endure the betrayal of them all because he's convinced that somehow God the Father is up to something. That even in the midst of the pain, there is something good, something redemptive, something healing and healthy that is taking place. Jesus was seeing past the hurt of the moment to the ultimate plan of God. He's yielding his personal desire for freedom from pain to the ultimate plan of God that sometimes does include pain and even senseless from our perspective suffering. It's as if he's saying, God the Father, my life is in your hands and I trust you even in this dark hour where bad people are around me. Can I give you a verse to hold on to? It's one you know. But can I reframe it for you to hold on to it right now, even in the midst of your wounding and not just kind of dismiss it? Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Can I show you what that verse doesn't say? It doesn't say everything that happens is good. There's a lot that's bad. And you live in a fallen, sinful world among fallen, sinful, broken people who wound a lot. And so the verse is not saying that you're agreeing that everything that happens is good. That's not what it says. There are some things that happen that are very, very bad. But the verse does, but it does say that God's good and he brings good even out of the worst of circumstances. That's the thing that you've got to lay hold of, is that somehow in the midst of what seems wounding to you and is wounding to you in reality, God's still in control of, and God wants to bring something redemptive and good out of it. Listen, any parent who's here who has ever taken your child to the ER and the first thing they want to do is they want to draw some blood from your screaming kid. Come on, anybody? Your kid's got some rash, some breakout, some whatever, and they're trying to take blood, and so you're holding your child down and they're looking at you like, Mom or Daddy, what the heck are you doing? You're supposed to be on my side. And yet you know they have to be subjected to the pain of the moment in order to get well. They have to. God says, I know it's painful and it's hard, but you got to trust me. I will bring something good from this. But you have to love and trust him. The verse said to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And listen, this makes all the difference in the world. You can't just say, God, just I want you to heal this without saying, God, I love you and I trust your heart toward me. God, I am submitting to you that you are good. I know a woman whose husband died nearly a decade ago and she's not remarried. It's not been an easy road for her, but God has been extraordinarily faithful. She told a friend once, she said, you know, if I could learn all the lessons that I've learned over the last decade and have my husband, that's the way I'd want it. But if I had to choose between not knowing what God's goodness is like and having my husband or losing my husband and knowing God's goodness. She said, I wouldn't change a thing. That's trusting God, even in the midst of heartache, to say, I trust that you're good, even when life is not. Jesus wants to heal the wounded. He wants to heal you, but you got to let him. But there's somebody else that Jesus wants to heal in this story. Somebody Jesus wants to heal right now. And that is, Jesus wants to heal and restore not only the wounded, but he wants to heal and restore the wounder. Now, that may be hard for you to hear, but this is the truth. Jesus came to heal all of us. Some of you are well aware that your life and your actions in the past have been hurtful and they have been wounding toward other people. And I know that there are some of you listening right now and you're wondering, could I ever be restored? Could I ever be changed and different? Could I ever stop wounding? Can I just say to you, in this scripture we've looked at today, 2 out of the 3 wounders become healed. 2 out of 3. Peter was a wounder. He waxed the guy's ear off, right? Does Peter wind up being healed? Does he become a life giver? You know he does. He stumbles out of the starting gate, but y'all know Peter's story. He does his denial of Christ and his you know, going back to fishing, but Jesus keeps pursuing him, and Peter, in spite of all his imperfections, becomes a preacher of the gospel. Peter is not only forgiven and healed, but he becomes a life giver, okay? There's another group that is transformed and healed. That's the priest, the very spiritual leaders who had wounded him, right? The leaders of the people, they ultimately, on the other side of the crucifixion and resurrection, they too admit their own part in that, and then they're healed. Listen to Acts chapter 6, verse 7. It says, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Do you see that? That even the spiritual leadership who had perpetrated such wounding against Christ ultimately become obedient to Christ. Transformation. The only person in the story who doesn't experience healing and restoration as a wounder is Judas. And Judas doesn't experience healing and restoration because he can't bring himself to go to Jesus and be healed. Instead, filled with regret and remorse and, I believe, self-hatred, he hanged himself. I'm convinced, had he come to Christ, he too could have been forgiven, but he chose not to. I'm saying to you right now, even as a wounder, Jesus will heal you if you let him. His touch on your life restores. If you want his touch to restore you, how does that happen? Here's what you should do. You should repent of your sins. You should say to Jesus this, Jesus, I am a sinner. I have done untold damage and harm, but I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins and change me and make me just like you. Repentance, listen, repentance is always toward God. And that includes, if you're a wounder, it includes 3 things, conviction, contrition, and change. God, I'm convicted about this. This is wrong. It involves contrition. I'm broken. I don't want to do this anymore. I've wounded so many people. I hate what I have done. And then change. God, change me. I don't know if you're wading through the book of Ezekiel. It's painstaking, but it's good sometimes in our L3. But I read on Wednesday these words, on Thursday, these words, Ezekiel 18:30. Therefore, God says, I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions so that your iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. Do you see it? God is saying to you, repent, turn to me, ask forgiveness, ask me to change you, and I'll change your destiny. For every one of us, repent. Even the priest became obedient to the faith. Seek forgiveness from those that you've hurt. If you know that you've been hurtful and now God has changed you, now you should go and ask for forgiveness and do whatever you can to make it right with those that you've wounded. There's a scripture from Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was talking about, you've heard that it said, you know, about being angry, about not murdering. And he says, hey, it's not just about murdering people, it's about being angry and calling them fools and morons and having anger in your heart. And this is what he says, if you've ever done that, if you've ever murdered someone, either physically or with your words or attitude or actions. This is what he says, Matthew 5:23. He says, therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar, talking about at church before God, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offering. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, yes, he wants you to be reconciled to God and he wants you to be repentant toward God. But listen, if you really want to be made well, part of your healing is once you've been touched by God and forgiven by God, is to go back and try to make things right with the people that you've hurt as much as you possibly can. You can't make them forgive you. You may not ever be reconciled to them in relationship, but your attitude has to be one of brokenness, humility, and repentance, even toward those you've hurt. And ask for their forgiveness and seek to make things right with them. So you repent toward God, you seek forgiveness from others, and then you start living your life as a healthy, whole, and new person. You live your life from today forward, from this point forward. You live your life now to help others and not to hurt others anymore. God wants to take your mess and he wants it now to become your message. He wants to recycle your pain to give hope to other people. I'm thinking about several people in my mind right now, guys and some couples who God has redeemed their wounding. I'm thinking about a guy who, when he was a teenager and even into college, got himself off into drugs and some other things that was very, very self-destructive, but he was very, very hateful and hurtful to his family, and it was very wounding to his family. But God, in his grace, extended his pursuit of this kid, wouldn't let him go, and ultimately this young guy turned his life to Christ, asked for forgiveness, asked God for healing touch, and God healed him, God restored him, and today this kid works with other college students, helping them to figure out their God-given purpose. That's God restoring pain. I'm thinking about a guy I met this week who spent some time incarcerated. And he met Christ, and Christ forgave him. Christ restored him, gave him an outlook to want to help people. And now out, he's actually involved with an organization that is now helping offenders re-enter through transitional housing. He's helping them find healing and forgiveness and grace like he did. I'm thinking about a lot of couples who have experienced the pain of betrayal, unfaithfulness, wounded a lot of folks in the process, and yet, by God's grace touch, they were forgiven, healed, restored, sought forgiveness, were reconciled, and became once again great daddies and mamas. And they now, many of them are great grandparents. Some are even involved with our marriage mentoring, or they're oftentimes called upon to help other couples who are in the throes of that betrayal still. I'm just saying to you, God can take your mess and turn it into your message, but you got to let God change you. Like Peter, God, I am so unstable, but you're making me to be brand new. Hands that used to hurt now help. Words that used to wound now give life. Hearts that were once selfish now are given to seeing God's kingdom come. God wants to take your mess, I'm convinced, and make it your message, but you have to let him. You have to let him. Your mama would say, you want me to kiss it and make it better? And then you had a choice. You had a choice. You could say yes or no. And there was a time when you thought that was so silly and so simple and meant nothing, but turns out there actually is healing power in a touch and in a kiss. And your Heavenly Father right now is saying to you, that wound that you have, that place of tenderness in your heart, that thing that causes you shame, embarrassment, or guilt, he's saying to you right now, you want Daddy to kiss that? You want me to touch it and make it well? And now you today can say to him, yes. Yes, God, touch me and make me well. Would you do that? Come on, all across the room, everybody's watching on the live stream right now, you're watching podcast. Would you just bow your head with me, and can we just have a moment of praying and asking God to heal us, to restore us, and to make us new? Come on, would you do it? Would you just own the hurt and the wound you have before him? Just call it out. Call it what it is. God, this is my wound. God, this is who wounded me. God, these are the wounds that I've perpetrated, but would you just lay it down? Would you lay down your right to retaliate? Would you lay down your right to get even? Would you say, God, you got to take this? God, you got to take this. Jesus, I'm inviting you to touch me. And would you show me what's in it for me? I'm not going to ask you why anymore. I'm not going to blame you anymore. I'm going to believe that you're good and that you're going to bring good. Come on, if you've been the one who's been the wounder, would you say to God right now, God, I am a mess and I've hurt so many people, starting with you, and I'm asking you to forgive me, cleanse me, change me, make me new. God, start me over. Give me a new mind and a new mouth and a new heart and new hands. God, would you give me grace to be able to go to the people that I've wounded and tell them I'm sorry and ask for their forgiveness? And God, would you take my mess and turn it into your message? Come on, right now, Christ is touching you. Christ can bring healing. He's doing it all over the room. I'm about to close this prayer time. At the end of the prayer, we're all going to stand up. We're going to worship God. We're going to sing a song. And I want to encourage you. Listen, if you want to take another step toward your healing, when we stand up to sing, you step out, come to one of these prayer ministers around the room. They're going to help you. They're going to pray with you. We'll help you take your next step toward getting well, toward getting whole. Listen, you may need a touch from God today that has nothing to do with being wounded, but it's still nonetheless a need in your life. We believe God wants to touch it all. When we stand up, you step out, go to one of these folks, and you just lift up your prayer request, and we'll see God touch you and heal you and provide for you. Come on, Lord, we pray. Bless you. Thank you for your healing touch. Lord, even in these next few moments, as we worship you and respond to you, Holy Spirit, heal. Christ, touch us. Kiss us, Father, with your love and with your grace. And would you make all things new? God, we bless you and I praise you. And I praise you in advance for the healing that is ours. God, return us toward you. Make us whole. God, would you take the wounders? And God, today, would you restore them to you? God, we bless you and thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.